You are listening to the Mind Manual Podcast, episode 29, Unveiling the Mind's Filter of Confirmation Bias.
If you want a particular result in your life, but you're unable to get it, tune in to start training your brain and expanding your emotional intelligence to unlock the most powerful and underutilized performance tool that we have. It's the most important work you could do because it affects every area of your life.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Exploring the Mind. Today, we're going to dive into a fascinating topic that influences our everyday lives, confirmation bias. It's an important concept to understand because it affects how we interpret information. It also influences the beliefs that we hold. But before we delve deeper, let's take a moment to acknowledge that confirmation bias is a natural reflex that all human beings possess. It's a product of our evolutionary development, designed to help us survive and adapt. It's a cognitive tendency that leads us to seek, interpret, and remember information in a way that confirms our existing beliefs or hypotheses. So it's a cognitive shortcut that allows us to process vast amounts of information quickly using the reticular activating system, or RAS for short, which is a network of neurons that runs between the brainstem and the thalamus. It filters out unnecessary information that we receive from the world around us based on the bias of our own preferences, intentions, perceptions, and beliefs, which can also lead us astray because it hinders our ability to see beyond our preconceived notions. And so it inhibits our capacity for critical thinking. The classic example of this hyper-focus filter is when you play the yellow car game. Do you recall at any other time how many yellow cars drive by? As psychologist Raymond Nickerson points out, confirmation bias can be thought of as a systematic tendency to search for, interpret, favour, and recall information in a way that confirms one's pre-existing beliefs or hypotheses. It's like putting on a pair of tinted glasses that filters our perception of the world, allowing us to see only what aligns with our preconceived notions. So all of the other evidence that we're not looking for, like when you're not playing the yellow car game, gets lost to background noise. Our brains naturally strive for coherence and consistency, so it's seeking to create a harmonious internal narrative. This makes us feel safe when we can be sure of our position in the world and all the rules of this game. Our identity speaks to our position in the world. Our beliefs help us to define which game we want to participate in, and our values helps to formulate the rules of that game. So confirmation bias will often emerge as a result of this innate drive to confirm these constructs for us. It's our mind's attempt to maintain congruency between our values, beliefs, and identity, and all the information we encounter, even if that means disregarding or distorting contradictory evidence. The old ostrich syndrome, with its head in the sand, speaks to the lengths that we go to ensure the story we manufacture in our mind will stand the test of time. It enables us to use it as a solid foundation to base our lives upon. I think the other component of it that's in play is that we become so attached in thinking we are our thoughts and beliefs, that they form part of our identity, and any counter evidence which has the potential to threaten our belief system must be cast aside. Why would we entertain something that questioned the validity of our identity, of our existence? For most people, that's too painful. And to our primal brain, that's way too close to being extinguished. Our ego, which is our false sense of self, has conflated these mental constructs of the mind with who it thinks we are. But we are not our thoughts or beliefs. The real essence of who we are is able to quietly observe ourselves having these thoughts. and all the ensuing mind drama that we inevitably create with the thoughts themselves. This is a subconscious process that occurs without our awareness. But have a think about it. Can you give a rational, logical explanation for why it hurts our ego so much to be proven wrong about something, particularly a belief that you feel so strongly about? Why are we more attached to the belief and in needing to be right about it than we are to the evidence? Have you ever tried to prove your own belief wrong at any time? Because I bet you will find the evidence to support any belief at any time. Try it out. It's a trip. You will find evidence that these times are tough. And you will also find evidence that we live in the golden times. If you believe someone is a terrible person, you'll interpret their every action and word as evidence to support that belief. Conversely, someone with a positive perception of the same person will find evidence to affirm that belief. If the person's behavior contradicts what you expect, you may even create a story to justify it so you can maintain your current belief system. We are filtering and distorting all of the input with our stories to match our narrative and worldview in order to create the certainty and safety that our primal brain craves and the validity and worthiness that our ego craves. The potential for both extremes and everything in between exists at all times. It's the law of opposites and relativity. This human experience is comprised of the full spectrum, and our blanket approach in only seeing something one way is the delusion that we create for ourselves that leads to a fixed mindset. And just remember, a fixed mindset must carry with it resistance. The resistance to process it any other way. The resistance of rejection. The resistance to what is, if it doesn't conform to how we think something should be. And resistance is at the root cause of our suffering. So given our beliefs go to the core of our identity and who we think we are, our primal brain will attack any counter beliefs and will interpret it as a threat to its survival, while disregarding or dismissing any contradictory information. As a coach, a significant part of my work involves helping clients question their current belief systems and challenging them to prove themselves wrong. Even though it may be initially uncomfortable, this is made even more difficult by the pleasure we derive from confirmation. Even when the belief itself may be negative or detrimental. For example, someone who believes they can't lose weight may actively seek evidence supporting that belief, even though it feels painful and limits their potential. This is how we end up arguing for our own limitations. This is the third element or system that we need to become aware of, the default program of our brain to avoid pain, move towards pleasure, and conserve energy. It's a very short-term based circuitry system, meaning it will always favor the short-term over the long-term. This motivational triad, which describes the primal brain's preference for efficiency, pleasure, and avoiding pain, contributes to our confirmation bias. Changing our beliefs runs counter to our brain's natural inclination, which prefers to confirm and reaffirm what we already know. This becomes so familiar and comfortable to the brain that it becomes a default, which allows it to go on autopilot and conserve energy. Having knowledge of these insights allows us to approach our coaching work, our self-improvement, our goals, or any personal development work with compassion and understanding for this human condition that we are all subject to. It helps to acknowledge the resistance and discomfort that comes with challenging our beliefs and overcoming this programming that we've come pre-installed with. Great news is we can override all of this using our higher thinking brain. the prefrontal cortex with some simple frameworks. We then go and put it all into practice, which is the fun stuff. This is what we do with the coaching work. We tease it all out and put it all out on the table for resorting and planning a new way forward. That's the intellectual component. You then have the daily practice of applying the new model until it becomes your new default. This needs to be practiced to the point where it becomes the new flight path for your autopilot to track. So I just want to summarize these three systems that are keeping us a prisoner inside of our own confirmation bias. And then we'll address some ways we can overcome them in order to support the goals and aspirations that you might have in your life. Whether that's improving your relationships, your health, your work life, or money goals, you can use it to create new beliefs and a new mindset that will support whatever it is you want to create. It will help you to feel better, to create a future that doesn't rely on your past. It will even help you to rewrite your past based on an analysis of your interpretation and current beliefs about the past events. As we reshape our belief system, it allows us to reinterpret the past to align with our new perspectives. Given the past only exists in our minds, we have our minds to work with to arrive at a new understanding that opens us up to the possibility of changing our interpretation of the past by changing our current beliefs about ourselves and others and the world. So the first system we addressed was the cognitive tendency to use shortcuts in seeking, interpreting, and remembering information in a way that confirms our existing beliefs. This helps us to process vast amounts of information quickly using the reticular activation system to filter out unnecessary information based on the bias of our own preferences and perceptions. The result of having done this over a lifetime will impel us to justify how we see everything. You might be thinking, but this is how life is. Or, but this is the way I am. I have all this evidence to show me that it can't or hasn't been any other way. And of course you will have that evidence. It's the self-fulfilling prophecy of our filtering systems. They are set up to prove our worldview of how things are, according to our interpretation of it. When we use this logic, we also get trapped into believing our past will always equal our future. We miss the bit where we can choose a different filter, to seek out an alternative perspective, or create a different belief. When we get locked into selectively processing information that confirms our biases while ignoring or devaluing contradictory evidence and basing future predictions on evidence we've filtered from the past, we lack the capacity to apply any critical thinking or scientific inquiry to a situation. We end up losing the ability to make rational decisions, which has significant implications for both our personal and professional relationships. In order to overcome this, we need to disconnect the autopilot that 95% of our brain activity is on. And we need to start expending some brain energy, which at first will be exhausting, since the brain uses the most energy of any organ in the body. But once we've worked out a new formula and practiced it enough times, it will eventually become your new default. And then you can resume your autopilot to once again conserve energy. We apply a critical thinking formula to initially question the truth of our beliefs. We usually never stop to question or rigorously examine any of the thoughts or beliefs we have. We usually just plunder through them and blindly believe everything we think. So the first step is in seeking the truth. We do this by asking ourselves, is this thought or belief really true? In what ways is it not true? And what evidence can you find to support this? Then we need to question what our life looks like as a result of holding on to this belief. So how does this thought or belief make you feel? And what behavior or action is being fueled from that emotion? If it doesn't produce a result that you're happy with, let's look at an alternative way to construct a new way going forward. We can start at any point in this cognitive framework where our thoughts create our feelings, our feelings fuel our actions and behavior, and our actions and behavior are determining our results or outcome that we have in our life. So if you're not happy with the results you have, then start there and work out what result you do want. Work back from there. Or if you don't like the way it makes you feel, then start there and decide how you do want to feel and work out what thought or belief that you would need to have to create that emotion. This could go into a whole coaching session, which I won't do here, but once you work out this model, then you need to practice it over and over again. Keep looking for all the evidence to support your new belief. You will find it in abundance. The more you look, the more you will find. It takes practice, awareness, and discipline. The second system we explored was how our ego has attached our identity to our thoughts and beliefs. In order to unravel this, we need to separate our thoughts and beliefs from who we are, so our sense of self isn't threatened. Feeling wrong simply threatens our core sense of self. Changing our belief systems will require us to confront uncomfortable truths and potentially reshape our identity, which can be a challenging and disorientating process. When those foundational truths begin to shift, it can feel like you've built your life on sand and it's now starting to swallow you up. In a crisis, such as a marriage breakup, if you believed your husband or wife was the love of your life and they lied or betrayed you, you might start to question, what other fallacies did I believe in? And how can I know what to believe in anymore? On the other hand, being proven right boosts our confidence and sense of control. It helps to confirm our position in the world. And in our mind, being right somehow gets equated with being better than. It's the reinforcement we seek in the social hierarchy of survival of the fittest. And sometimes making others wrong will provide us with that elevation in status that we seek and worthiness we crave. Changing our belief systems requires effort and a willingness to be wrong about our assumptions. The process can be emotionally challenging as our brain perceives it all as a threat to our survival. It's important to remember that our brain's resistance to change stems from its desire for certainty. We need to have compassion for ourselves as we navigate the discomfort and uncertainty that accompanies changing our beliefs. So in order to dispel the illusion that we are our thoughts and beliefs, it's helpful to reflect on the temporary nature of thoughts and beliefs. They arise and pass away, but your sense of self persists. This sense of self is also able to observe you having a thought or expressing a belief. So who is the part of you that is quietly observing? And imagine a hypothetical scenario where all your thoughts and beliefs are erased, just as they are when we come into this world. Would your sense of self disappear completely? Or would there still be some core essence of who you are? Spend some time contemplating this thought experiment to challenge the illusion of associating our identity with our thoughts and beliefs. The third component or system keeping us tied to our confirmation bias is the motivational triad of our evolutionary beginnings, which is to avoid pain, move towards pleasure, and conserve energy. Our brain, which has evolved over time, consists of a higher level thinking capacity found in the prefrontal cortex, which is layered over the more primitive survival brain. To navigate this complex landscape, we must use our higher level brain to manage the survival brain, which will often perceive imminent danger. Think of your survival brain as a 2-year-old tantruming toddler. with a knife. Clearly, it needs to be supervised by our higher, more evolved adult brain. The primal brain is constantly scanning for threats and is quick to activate that fear response to get us to pay attention to the impending tragedy that it's predicting. This emotionally charged reaction will take priority over the intellectual in the moment, given that survival is paramount. So thinking becomes relegated behind action. When you have an understanding of these three systems and how they hook us into creating and then confirming our biases, it becomes easier to unhook ourselves from them when we can see them for all that they are. They are the mental programs and constructs that will occur naturally by default in the unconscious state. But as you awaken to them and remain conscious of them and quietly observe them in action, we can start to override them with our higher brain and play around with them. We can deactivate the autopilot, disassociate ourselves as being separate from our thoughts and beliefs, and start exercising conscious thought about what else might be possible. Start to look for evidence for that. When we stop to analyze what result will flow from a particular belief, it's really helpful to see how it all plays out. How our thoughts and beliefs are inducing an emotion or energy that is then fueling how we show up for life in the actions and behaviors that we feel compelled to take or not take as a result of feeling that way. And taking it a step further, you can then see how those actions and behavior are actually creating the result based on the original belief or thought. When you have access to this insight and awareness, the question to ask yourself is, does this model actually serve me? Do I want to consciously keep choosing this for myself? One striking aspect of confirmation bias is its potential to create an echo chamber. In an increasingly interconnected world where information is readily accessible, we have the ability to curate our own information bubbles, surrounding ourselves with like-minded individuals and reinforcing our existing beliefs. This can result in a distorted perception of reality, further entrenching our confirmation bias. Changing our belief systems requires effort and a willingness to be wrong about our assumptions. The process can be emotionally challenging as our brain perceives it as a threat to our survival. So it's important to remember that our brain's resistance to change stems from its desire for certainty. We need to have compassion for ourselves as we navigate this discomfort and uncertainty that accompanies changing our beliefs. Cognitive scientist Hugo Mercier proposes that collective intelligence and open deliberation can serve as effective antidotes to confirmation bias. Engaging in meaningful discussions with people who hold different viewpoints can also expose us to alternative perspectives and challenge our biases. By fostering a culture of intellectual humility and encouraging constructive debate, we can collectively navigate the pitfalls of confirmation bias. Psychologist Carol Tavares suggests that acknowledging our biases is the first step towards mitigating their influence. By recognizing our propensity for confirmation bias, we can strive to actively seek out diverse perspectives, challenge our assumptions, and consider conflicting evidence. Overcoming confirmation bias requires conscious effort and a commitment to open-mindedness. The other thing is we can use our confirmation bias to our advantage by consciously cultivating beliefs that serve us. If you genuinely believe in your greatness and capability, you'll find evidence of it everywhere, which will further reinforce that belief. This principle applies to various aspects of our lives, such as weight loss, financial success, and personal growth. Changing our default thinking and deliberately focusing on empowering beliefs over limiting beliefs will eventually shape our confirmation bias in a way that supports our goals and aspirations. So I invite you to reflect on your own experiences with confirmation bias. How has it shaped your beliefs and influenced your decision making? Are you open to questioning your assumptions and actively seeking out diverse perspectives? Remember, overcoming confirmation bias requires self-awareness, intellectual curiosity, and a willingness to challenge the status quo. Stay curious, keep questioning, and embrace the transformative power of an open mind. By understanding and harnessing confirmation bias, we can consciously shape our beliefs and create the life we desire. Until next time, look for ways you are having an amazing life and make that your new belief. Hope you've enjoyed this session. Please put it into practice. Don't leave it as an intellectual session. And I look forward to seeing you next week.
If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, you have to come and check out Mind Scholars. It's my monthly coaching membership where we take all of this work to a much deeper level. We study it and then apply it to the everyday in every way. So if you want to take your life to a whole new level, join me in Mind Scholars over at themindmanual.com/join. I look forward to seeing you there.